Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, November 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. Today we continue what we started last month. All right, it was last week. A show all about candy. We began the discussion, but then we had to hit the pause button for special on-air coverage. So we'll pick up the chocolate and candy pieces now for a discussion on holiday sweets and treats. In the studio, Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy from New York's Capital Region and Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Want to know how to make holiday sweets in your own kitchen? Now's the time to call. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Chocolate, peanut butter, almond butter crunch, and your calls are coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, Halloween may be behind us, but that doesn't mean we have to close the book on enjoying tasty chocolate and candy. With the holiday season nearing, now might even be the perfect time to try out some recipes before Thanksgiving rolls around. If you recall, last Friday, we started a show about candy right before Halloween, and then there was special coverage at 20 after 2, and so the whole show was gone. But we're doing it again today. And joining us today, Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy and Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates. Uncle Sam's has been a Capital Region favorite for more than 80 years. It offers homemade fudge, handmade chocolates, and, of course, its almond butter crunch. The business now has locations in Schenectady and Latham. Matt runs the kitchen at Catherine's Chocolates in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. In business since the 1950s, the shop makes a host of caramels, truffles, and chocolate bark. Well, if you want to know the secrets behind making delicious candy, give us a call now. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. I guess it should be noted, Tom Krause was here with us on Friday from Krause's homemade chocolates and candies, and he's got a little eye issue today, so he won't be with us. He's got a, you know... medical excuse, as they say. But we welcome Joe Serrata back from Uncle Sam's Candy. Joe, nice to have you here.
Great to be here.
And Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates. Matt, you're a newcomer on this program.
Second time on the station, but first time on this one.
So great to have you here. And let's learn a little bit more about Catherine's Chocolates. You guys have been around since the 50s?
Yeah, 1958, 59. My grandparents... came up to the Berkshires vacationing, fell in love with it, started a store in Great Barrington right where we're at, 1958, so it's just about exactly 60 years.
You know, it's so funny. Joe and Uncle Sam's Candy, Uncle Sam's Candy's been around for 80 years, and I think Krause's something similar to that. It seems like candy making is a family affair.
It oftentimes is.
Why do you think that is?
In my case, it's not.
No?
Okay. Well, I am the third owner of Uncle Sam's in almost 90 years, right? So, you know, it happened that there have been three ownerships, and it has not been passed down through the family in each instance.
So you're the exception rather than the rule.
I guess I am. I actually nationally believe I really am the exception. Because I know a lot of candy makers nationwide, I'm sure, Matt, you know, also. Mm. But we kind of are a small community, and... I kind of think that what happens is they get passed down, but once in a while you find that your child just doesn't want to do the same thing that mom and dad did, right? So, and I think a lot of parents feel that way. I'd like to see my son become a lawyer and my daughter become a doctor or something
right.
like that. You know, so have an easier life than slaving over a hot candy stove and a marble slab.
But Matt, you grew up with this.
Yeah, very young. I started when I was 13 making fudge and just graduated from there waiting on customers out front and then taking over the kitchen in the back, making everything over a nice hot copper kettle and homemade recipes that was passed down from my grandfather to my dad and to me, learning all the tricks of the trade, making everything by hand and chocolate covering it. And I've never once been involved in it, or it's just been passed down from one generation to the next, for us at least. Mom out front takes care of all the packaging, and I just really have to make everything, and she makes everything look really nice.
Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates here. Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy. We talk candy once again here on Vox Pop Food Friday. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And before we get to our first calls, when Joe first sat down, Matt was already here, and Joe said, "Hey, are you a Merkin's house or a Peter's house? What the heck does that mean?"
Well, you know, there are a couple different companies in America that have made high quality confectionery chocolate for a small candy makers in America, okay? And Merkin's and Peter's are two of the longest tenured and most established outfits in America doing so. There are others, okay? You know, there's Guittard, there's Blommers, there's a few other family-owned companies. There's less than there used to be, I'll admit. They've been hit hard over the last, say, 20 years, this industry.
Why?
Well, between rising commodity prices, rising energy prices, and other things, mm-hmm. Competition with Mexico and Canada, the subsidized sugar prices in America versus across the borders. So, you know, it's been a challenge for some of them. I can say that the long tenured ones, the good ones, the really great ones, are still around. Okay, for the most part, you know, Peter's and Merkin's, and there are different flavor notes involved in their chocolates. That's simply what it, you know, kind of boils down to.
It's very hard to try and comprehend the idea of actually making the chocolate from scratch. Mm. We have to get it in, like with Joe, from Merkin's. We're a Merkin's house. And just melt it down into, you know, so that we can chocolate cover our pieces. To try and do that from scratch, you know, you have to involve this humongous process. That's why really the big companies have to have milk brought in by the, you know, truckload. And when I went down to Hershey, they actually bring everything by train.
Mm.
And these humongous quantities to try and keep up with their own product. It's almost impossible to do when you're a family-run business or a small business. To try and even comprehend the idea of making chocolate from scratch is very, very hard to
do. So you're a Merkin's house.
I'm a Merkin's house. Yeah, we are.
What about you, Joe?
Peter's. Is Daniel Peter was a gentleman from Switzerland who, around the 1850s, created the chocolate that we know today as the bar type of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, cocoa beans were used to make a drink. Okay, so what he did is combined it. He milled the beans and he combined it with the fat of the beans, which is cocoa butter, and he added sugar and milk, and he created milk chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And he partnered up with Henry Nestle. Okay.
Yep.
So we all know Nestle's is one of
sure.
the biggest food companies in the world, and their chocolate business grew to the point where they actually owned many of the plantations in Africa, because chocolate is only grown on the equator. So it's in Central America, it's in Africa, Indonesia, places like that. Hawaii, you know, closer to the equator, the more so you can grow chocolate. You can't grow it in New York.
Let's take a call here before our first break, and then we'll get back and talk about all the delicious things you brought with you today. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tim in Ballston Spa. Tim, you're on.
Yeah, I have fond memories of a good friend of mine who, through the 80s, would bring me Uncle Sam's chocolate bark, dark and white, for many years. But I was at a Christmas party last year, now in Florida, and somebody came up with a wonderful confection. Chopped up dates, chopped up walnuts, rolled into a ball and rolled in coconut shreds to yeah. die for.
That's an old-fashioned candy right there.
Yeah. My mom used to make those. Yeah. You don't even need to be a candy maker to make those.
Right.
No. And you cannot beat it.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you for that one, Tim.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. So when you guys get the Merkin's or the Peter's chocolate, you get big blocks of the stuff?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We get 50-pound boxes of chocolate in 10-pound slabs, and just break it down, melt it down, And it just becomes a nice Willy Wonka waterfall of chocolate, and everything gets chocolate covered, or we make solid chocolate molds of turkeys or anything that you can possibly imagine. We have a mold of that we can make chocolate out of, milk chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate.
Well, I see turkeys at the table. Usually there are turkeys at this table, but now we have actual chocolate turkeys at the table, and we'll talk about what you brought in a moment. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We talk candy today with Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy and Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy is with us, at Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates in Great Barrington, and we talk candy on the program. We started this show last week. It was terribly foreshortened, but today we'll give you the whole thing, and we'll get to the phones in just a moment. But you guys brought some great stuff. So, Matt, you're the newcomer. You tell us what you brought today.
I brought one of our most popular samplers. We call it a 1 pound milk and dark Berkshire, named after the Berkshire Hills where we come from. My grandmother specialized in miniature candy. She believed that you should be able to pop it in your mouth in one bite or two and not to have too much of a mess on your hands. So everything that we make is miniature. We make This box has about 50, 60 different pieces of chocolate in it, milk chocolate and dark chocolate, like we were talking about before, from Merkins. We hand cut, hand dip everything in the box.
The orange cream is phenomenal. Very mellow.
It's almost almost like when you remember a creamsicle.
Yeah.
Yep. And make the homemade caramel from scratch. My dad taught me how to make that. The nougat, is, I like to call a mini Charleston chew, peanut butter puffs, marshmallow, like I said, creams of all 7 different types.
And I love how you number them.
Yeah, each piece has a mark, specially marked. That way there, someone asks me or one of the people that work in the store, we should be able to tell them which mark is which piece. Square pieces are generally creams, also a caramel. Long rectangles are chips, the nuts, a little bit harder because we hand dip those, but we should be able to tell.
Do you ever have misnumbering problems where you have to throw out the batch? Because you can give that to me.
It's just never really thrown away, we'll say.
Okay.
It's definitely
factory seconds, as it were.
Taken care of.
All right. And Joe, do you number your candy?
Yeah, it's called a signature. So not only the shape, but the design that is on top of the piece dictates the signature. So, for instance, commonly, almost universally, orange creams are in the shape of a figure eight. It's like the signature that goes back probably hundreds.
But we don't know why.
We don't know why.
I was just told.
Caramels are square. The reason for that is caramels are actually cut. They're poured out on a slab, and they're cut with very sharp blades into little squares, and then they're run through the chocolate and dipped.
All right. Before we get to the phones, and I promise Alan Gardner, you'll be first at 800-348-2551. You guys brought turkeys. Joe, you got a solid one there.
Yeah, I've got a solid. It's $10.
We don't do prices on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So let's pretend that you didn't say that.
I pretend I didn't say it.
Fine.
I did not say that. It's a turkey. I'm trying to illustrate we have a variety of sizes and prices.
Yes.
But that's what we all of us do.
It's very nice, though.
So they range from like 2 inches on up, and this is probably the most popular one. It's 4 inches tall. What does it weigh?
30, 40 pounds?
8 ounces.
8 ounces, yeah. It's very nice.
And we decorate them. We put a little sanding sugar on the tail.
What is sanding sugar?
It's colored sugar.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful.
And it's the larger grain.
What are the eyes? Are they plastic?
You know, those are made out of sugar.
Oh, really? So you can eat that?
They're made out of sugar. And some people actually make their own, you know, but we couldn't do that. So we buy them from a company in Long Island that's been around for 100 years making eyeballs.
So this company in Long Island makes eyeballs.
Sugar eyeballs. Well,
they
make flowers, all kinds of things.
We always had a heck of a problem getting them, not having them cross-eyed. Like sometimes the black of the eye was looking one way, and then you get someone that would look at a turkey and be like, why is he?
They won't buy it. Oh, wait a minute.
Really? People will freak out about that?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you another funny story. Speaking of the eyeballs, you can kick out of
them. All right.
They come in yellow, white, pink, and blue.
Yeah.
And we used to use all the colors. We'd have people standing in line out the door at Easter, and they'd stop and they'd say, this Easter bunny has a pink eyeballs. Can I get them changed to blue?
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, you just can't stop what you're doing on Holy Saturday and change the – you have to send it down to the kitchen, scrape the eyeballs off, take it out of the package, you know.
So now you don't order the pink anymore.
We stopped.
Yeah.
We strictly have white eyeballs now with little black dots in the middle.
What about you, Matt?
We have solid chocolate turkeys just like Joe does, different sizes, different shapes. We only have solid. We don't do hollow. That's just easier for us. I think it's easier for when we mold, like you guys mold in big batches of doing turkeys or whatever you happen to be doing. It's easier for us to just have a solid chocolate piece as opposed to hollow. And also, we did have hollow one time, and I exactly say one time because everybody kept on pinching it together and breaking it. And
that's
again,
a problem.
Like you were saying, it's seconds, and you know we can always remelt a turkey that's not sold. I think that's why we don't do the sugar like you guys do.
In other words, once you adorn it, you really can't remelt it.
Yeah. You can scrape the eye off. But
not with the sugar.
But
it's
gotta sell it harder.
You got to sell it at discount.
I got to be honest with you. I've never heard of a chocolate turkey in my life. So this is a popular thing with people?
Yeah. For us, for sure. We have what we like to call the table favors in two different sizes and three different chocolates. And a lot of people will just come in and buy a dozen at a time and put them right on their table at Thanksgiving for favors.
Huh. Well, let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Alan Gardner has been waiting a while. Al, you're on.
Hi. I have a question. We have I call it a specialty chocolate candy store in town. Third generation, and they've got some sugar-free chocolates, which, to tell you the truth, when you taste them, you can't make a distinction between your regular chocolate and sugar-free. Do you, the people there, do you buy your chocolate sugar-free, or do you have to process that yourself?
No, we do. We buy it from the producers, Peters.
Okay, so the mass producers also make the sugar-free chocolates as well.
And they make... You know, as a percentage-wise, it's very small of what they make, okay?
Right?
So now sugar-free is designed for people who might have problems with their blood sugar, and they would like to not spike their blood sugar as highly as they would eating a regular piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
We also buy, bring in sugar-free chocolate. It's very, very hard to try and do that in a small business.
And what's the process to give it that phenomenal flavor? Well, you can't really tell a difference between the sugared and the sugar-free.
Well,
is there artificial sweeteners in there? Or
for us, it comes with artificial sweeteners and just instead of sugar, there would be something that they. For us, it's sorbitol and mannitol. That's the general sugar substitutes that we have. They figured out a way.
Yeah, the chemists call those sugar alcohols. Okay, what they do is they take something like, and perfect example, they take potatoes, or they'll take birch bark. That's another thing they actually use, and I believe it or not, and they'll ferment these products and they'll create a more complex carbon chain of sweetener that does not raise the blood sugar. So they're made from natural products, but they're processed to the extent that they can not spike your blood sugar. They've gotten better over the years because the first generation was sorbitol, then they came up with xylitol and maltitol. So they've created better ones over the last 20 or 30 years to meet that demand, but they also have less of an effect on your stomach. Okay, now
people, there could be problems, and I remember this.
There's now this is issues. Probably what we should talk because people who say, "Oh, I'm going to save my, I'm on a diet." Well, no, they're not for diets because the caloric content is very close, 95% of regular sugar. So they're for people with blood sugar issues. Okay, like diabetes and things like that. And of course, consult your physician. Yep. Number one. I'm not a physician.
No.
So I like
clear.
To always say that. But secondly, if you eat too many too fast, you will experience some digestive issues.
Yes.
Okay,
that's a good way to put it.
Including gas and bloating.
Thank
okay,
you.
So
thank you for
we
that.
Recommend to people, and honestly, I always wondered if that was part of the reason if they do that intentionally to keep people from trying to eat too many. Because if you're a diabetic, you can't sit there and eat the whole box.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hey, Al, thanks. Great call. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Joe, you brought a box of shiny foiled things here. What do you got?
Well, we have a line of products called the Chocolate Gecko, which used to be a popular little chocolate shop in Albany that closed its doors. And we actually bought the recipes and bought the brand. And we make the products in-house now. We've changed we've eliminated some of the things, and we've created some of our own. But what we're doing here is we're using Belgian chocolate, and we're making a lot of fondants, and we're doing a process called shell molding, which means you pour the chocolate in a mold, and then you pour half of the chocolate out, and you kind of coat the outside of the mold and make a shell, and then you fill that where you pipe the chocolate in, the filling in, and then you cover the bottom with more melted chocolate. So they're very labor intensive, but they come out beautiful. And some of them we wrap in foil, others we put in unique shapes like little mice and pyramids and frogs.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, there is a pyramid there. What's in the orange foil?
Okay, the orange foil is something I came up with. It's simple. It's a ganache, which is a heavy cream and melted chocolate, and we put some Jack Daniels in there.
Oh.
And I call it Frankie's High Note because Frank Sinatra, who's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Right? He loved Jack Daniels, so I mixed Jack Daniels and chocolate. I can't call it Sinatra because that's a protected brand. The Sinatra family is very jealous of the brand. They're not going to let us put his name on it. But I call it Frankie's High Note, and people enjoy it. That is popular. When you mix bourbon and chocolate, people love it.
All right, let's take a call, and I'm going to try one of these. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Frank at Pine Bush. Hey, Frankie, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good.
I had heard, I don't know, I sound like you have two very chocolate experts there.
Well, I guess, yeah.
kind of that there's no real chocolate or cocoa in white chocolate, that it's all just butter, fats, and, you know, cream to give the same, like, texture and flavor, but there's no actual chocolate in white chocolate.
Frank, we had this discussion in my house on Halloween night. I said the same thing, but I don't know if I'm right. So let's ask the experts.
Cool.
Go ahead.
The one thing I know about white chocolate is there's no cocoa bean.
So it's not chocolate.
There is part of the cocoa bean. There's cocoa butter in
cocoa
real
butter.
White chocolate.
Okay.
So cocoa butter.
It's definitely missing one of the.
So would you guys call it chocolate then, really?
Yeah, you can now. Legally, you used to not be able to, but they've changed the definition now that you may call it. Because if it contains the portion of the cocoa bean known as cocoa butter, which is the fat.
Yeah.
The other portion is the liqueur, which is the dark, almost black, dark brown, which think of baker's chocolate that you buy in the store and you cook with.
Yeah.
That's pure chocolate liqueur. Okay, so that's the essence of the chocolate.
Yeah.
But they remove that from the fat. The fat rises to the top, and that fat is used to make white chocolate, mixing it with milk and sugar.
So it's a gray area. White chocolate is a gray area. It is not exactly chocolate, but it's close enough.
But if it's real white chocolate and you taste it and you close your eyes and you taste it, you will pick up the notes of real chocolate. If it's imitation white chocolate, it does not contain the cocoa butter, forget it. That's just vanilla-flavored palm oil.
Oh, what do you think, Frank?
Interesting. Yeah. No, you know, that's basically what I had heard, but I didn't know that there was a legal issue even that you couldn't call it chocolate at one point, so that was very helpful.
Well, the FDA sets guidelines as to how you label your food.
The FDA is in charge of chocolate.
They have a guideline. In order for it to be chocolate, you call it chocolate, it has to contain chocolate liqueur and cocoa butter. Huh. Now, they have allowed you to, they've changed the definition of white chocolate to contain just cocoa butter.
Ah.
Now, bear in mind, you go to the market, you pick up a box, it says chocolatey, it says fudgy, it says chocolate flavored.
Right.
It does not have real chocolate in it.
So what does it have in it?
It has usually cocoa powder,
which
you remember Hershey sells and you make hot chocolate with.
Sure.
Cocoa powder and hydrogenated palm kernel oil or coconut oil.
Well, Frank, thank you for a great call, and we appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. So the guidelines are very strict. It's kind of like you can't call scotch scotch unless it's made
right.
in Scotland.
And I erred when I called Jack Daniel's bourbon. It's Tennessee whiskey.
You betcha.
Same deal.
Good point.
Same deal.
Let's try this thing. You guys talk amongst yourself. 800-348-2551 is the number. So, Matt, tell us about your average day at Catherine's Chocolates.
Yesterday, we chocolate covered three different types of creams, and then on the other machine, we chocolate covered marshmallows, and we chocolate covered walnuts and pecans by hand out front. Out back, I'm usually making a batch of candy in the morning or late at night, and during the day we're chocolate covering that. It can also range. I can make making fudge. Can running the machines is a three to four day a week process, and then one of the more special things that I do definitely once a week is make chocolate covered peppermint. And in dark chocolate, I didn't happen to bring that, but it's one of the special things that I do every week because we have a client in Stockbridge, Mass., which is the Red Lion Inn.
Yeah, oh,
and
sure.
They take our peppermint, which we foil by hand in red, and put it on the pillows for a turndown service for their guests that stay
oh,
there.
Very
and
nice.
And we've been doing that since I was 16, 17, because I can remember bringing the mints up to the Red Lion Inn, delivering them every week, and I've been doing that ever since.
That's amazing. Joe, the Frank's High Note is ridiculously good. I got to say, it's
Well, if you like that, we have something made with rye by our own local distillery, Albany Distilling. It's ironweed rye whiskey.
Oh, my gosh.
And we do the same process with the chocolate ganache center. And we add the rye to it, and that's called ironweed whiskey truffle.
So this is a ganache in the middle of
yep.
this, and there's not that much booze in here, right?
No,
just
not
a little flavor, but you get the flavor of
yes,
it.
Yes, you do.
Of the Jack Daniel's. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Pete. Pete, where are you calling from?
Port Jervis.
Hi. Well, welcome aboard, and nice to hear you from Port Jervis. You're on.
I just wanted to clarify something. Your expert made a little mistake when he was describing the differences between white chocolate and chocolate.
Okay. All right.
The difference is in chocolate liquor. Chocolate liquor is made from reducing chocolate beans, but the actual white chocolate does not contain any chocolate solids, and that's the difference.
It contains cocoa butter,
no
which comes
from. Well, I think that's what Joe said, though, right? Cocoa butter?
Yeah. No, he said chocolate liqueur, which is something entirely different
right.
and has alcohol.
It's not in white chocolate.
Chocolate liquor, which is reduced.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Why are you shaking your head, Matt Sinico?
It's a little bit above my head. That the
one, really?
Yeah. The scientific aspect of it, the difference is I don't. I like white chocolate. I call it white. I can call it white chocolate. I know a lot of people come in saying, well, like we were saying before, is this really chocolate? And it's like, yes.
All right, fair
well,
enough.
We can just put it this way. There's three things that come from the cocoa bean. Liqueur, which the gentleman said, solids, okay, which is the essence, the dark, that's the chocolate. And then the next thing that comes out of it is cocoa butter, which is the fat. Okay, and it's kind of a yellowish product, okay? Yellowish, you know, clear yellowish. Then the last thing is cocoa powder, which is the remains of the beans that have been ground.
Yeah.
And that is a byproduct, and they used to dump it in the farm fields years ago until Hershey figured out you can mix it with milk and sugar and make hot cocoa.
What would they do with it in the fields?
Well, they didn't know what to do with it until Hershey figured out how to sell this byproduct and put it in a tin, and people could mix it with sugar and make a hot cocoa,
yeah.
Okay? Which it doesn't have the fat content in it that the chocolate has, so it's not as the mouthfeel's not as good.
Yeah.
You know, you can make better hot cocoa at home by taking a really good dark chocolate bar and grating it and mixing that with hot cream or hot
sure.
milk, because you're going to get the fat content, okay, and the sugar's already in there. You're going to get a better flavor.
Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates, Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy. It's a Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Back to the phones in a moment. We got a Merkin's house here. We got a Peter's house, and they're playing very nicely. Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy and Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates here to talk candy with you at 800-348-2551. Well, the Halloween rush is over, and I think Tom Krause was saying last week that now the heavy season comes in for candy makers. This is the time.
Yeah, I've told a lot of people, if I'm not busy for the next 54 days, we're in trouble.
Yeah. So why is it that this time of year is the candy time?
I think it's when people can buy not only for their families, but then also businesses come and get corporate gifts and come in and buy a lot of things for the employees. And then you get the families that can do mail orders and come in two or three times once to do the mail order, and that's once to get their initial order of either Thanksgiving or Christmas items, and then they'll come back because they ate their first batch.
All right, back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. We go to Lima in Liberty. You're on.
Okay, it's Lima, like Lima Beans.
Hello, Lima.
Yeah, they call me Lima Beans, and I got to talk fast because my phone is going to go out soon. I got a weak battery. I have to put a new phone.
Fair enough.
What I want to ask is, okay, number one, I read that cadmium, which is not good, you know, it's poisonous. It's in sugar, it's in coffee, and it's in chocolate. Cadmium,
sure.
And then invert sugar. Hershey's has been putting that in a lot. That is not real sugar, right? Invert. Okay, I'm going to get off the line after I'm done. Vanillin. It's an artificial vanilla. It's not the real thing.
Correct.
When I see these things, except cadmium, I don't buy them. I've called them, and they said that they're going to make it more genetically modified and better things in it. They're starting, but they haven't done it yet, Hershey's fully. But if you can tell about cadmium, invert sugar, and vanillin, I'd appreciate it. I'm going to hang up.
All right.
My battery's clicking.
All right. Thank you, Lima.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lima. All right, cadmium, first of all. Cadmium.
Well, I don't know. You know, heavy metal. It's a heavy metal.
Yeah, okay, you make batteries out of it.
It's not the kind I listen to on my radio.
No.
But on my car radio. But
not anthrax or anything
like that? It's not,
no.
Okay, but it is one of those heavy metals. And I am certain that there are many heavy metals in our food chain that are in our soil as a result of either natural or pollution.
Okay. But you haven't heard of this specifically.
But no, I have not heard that.
What's invert sugar? What
abnormal levels. Now, do you want to handle that?
I can handle the vanillin instead of the invert sugar. The vanillin is something that I see a lot in products that we actually bring in as a additive to the chocolate that the big companies will make, as opposed to pure vanilla because of costs, I believe.
Okay, there are also vanillin is made from birch bark. That's another I mentioned it earlier.
Interesting.
It's made from birch bark, and I think it was synthesized in the 40s or the 50s. And one of the things about it is people have said it has a stronger vanilla flavor than real vanilla.
I'll be darned.
Okay, the food chemist will tell you that. We don't use it, but some of the chocolates have it. Because it's been explained to me by food chemists at Peter's and other places that real vanilla is harder to get a real vanilla taste in your chocolate when it's mixed with the fat, with the cocoa butter. Now, I can tell you that like the European chocolates particularly use real vanilla. American chocolates tend to have vanillin.
Huh.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not made from like oil. Okay, you know, pumped out of the ground, oil
or something.
It's made from birch bark, and as far as invert sugar goes, it's been a chemical process known as inversion. It basically will turn into liquid. It's not when you say it's not real sugar. Well, it is sugar. It's just been chemically processed.
Liquid sugar.
It turns to liquid. Once it's been deprived of oxygen, that's one of the big secrets of how you get like a creamy center, is that there's an additive which is called invertase, which is made from yeast actually, that's added to regular sugar, or you use something called invert sugar, which has been modified so that it'll break down as it's been deprived of oxygen. That's how you can start with a hard lump of sugar and coated in chocolate, and in a matter of days, it'll turn into a liquefied center.
Wow. The right? things you learn on this yeah. program.
Like
eh?
Our cherries, we use Invertase with fondant. We make fondant, we put Invertase from yeast, and we coat the cherries, and then we dip them in chocolate. And then in about 3 or 4 weeks, those cherries become liquid centers.
3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 days?
Well, with the cherries, it takes a little longer. Huh. To be fully liquefied. It starts right away, but it's a slow process.
Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy is here. Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates. It's Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. Susan in Lake Katrine. Susan.
Yes, hello there.
Hello.
I had a question. I can't remember how the recipe went. But you take some pecans and some egg whites and you whip them till they're just foamy. And you roll the pecans in the egg whites and then the cinnamon sugar and then bake them. And I forgot, okay, how long?
Ah, is that what you need
and
to
what
know?
What degree temperature.
Okay.
Sounds like a divinity or divinity. A
divinity. Yeah. Any ideas about how long and at what temperature?
I'm thinking maybe 350 for 20 minutes.
What do you think, guys?
And it comes out, and it comes out so it's almost like a crunchy candy, but it's not a candy because they're nuts.
We cook things over a copper kettle over a flame. We don't bake things, so it's hard for me to translate that from baking to cooking on a flame. You know, cooking on a stovetop, for instance.
It sounds something that's baked. Yeah, I was going to say not that necessarily made as candy.
But it plays like candy when you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you could do it
that sounds
in
good.
A double boiler probably too. But if it doesn't get hot enough, then you got to go right on top of the stovetop with it. Maybe stir it
near
with
the
a
oven.
Whisk. You might get the same result.
Is this a popular thing in your household, Susan?
No, it's from Texas.
Oh.
I think it's kind
and
of
I
like a
homemade.
I haven't
made it in so long, I forgot how what temperature to bake it at and how long.
Divinity.
I think just wing it.
Yeah, you should. Give it a try.
Experiment.
Get back into it.
I have a question about the birch bark. I remember when I was camping out or living in the woods with a 4-year-old, that the birch trees, the black birch trees, and I take the twigs and I boil them down, I make minter green tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are nodding. Yeah.
There's a lot of flavor, and that's how they make birch beer, right?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Food Friday, and now we go to Michael in Sparrowbush. Michael.
Hello.
Hello.
Last week, one of the guys mentioned licorice, and he said that the Australians make the best licorice. I was wondering why Australians are considered the best licorice makers, and also, what are the ingredients of licorice?
We never got to that. We had to end the show so early. But, yeah, let's talk about that. Why Australia?
Well, I don't know. I just think that they have a company there that's been making great licorice, and they outdo the Dutch and the Belgians and the people that kind of – the Danes have been big on licorice. And as far as the flavor goes, now I wonder if it's like the anise root that they grow there is better. Licorice usually has an anise root. Oftentimes it has flour in it. So when people are worried about gluten – real licorice has usually has flour, wheat flour, so we tell them don't get licorice.
Huh.
Okay? Because that's one of the few things in the candy store that you're going to find that has gluten.
We have kookaburra licorice from Australia, and I also wonder if as growing up here, you get used to Twizzlers and you get used to red licorice and you're not really introduced to black licorice or something different from a different country, you get used to that taste. And once someone gives you something that's true, that's from more direct from the source, it has that much stronger flavor.
Huh.
Yeah, big time.
And what is the difference between red and black?
Well, red isn't really licorice, is it? It's just it's same consistency.
Candy, yeah.
It's a candy, and it's got like strawberry or cherry flavor.
But the real licorice, you know, it's such a polarizing flavor. Some people really like it. Some people really hate it.
Yeah. I just know that when you have kookaburra, it knocks your socks off compared to, like, Twizzlers. And people's eyes bug out of their head. They say, oh, my gosh, this is so vivid. And I just compare it to, like, say, Grandma's Italian sauce, how good it was, versus, like, going to buying a jar of, like, say, Ragu, not to knock anybody.
No, but, I mean, our legal department wants me to let you know that Twizzlers are fine and Ragu is also fine.
So if you're used to eating Ragu and then you go to, like, little Italian grandma's house and she makes you, like, spaghetti sauce, okay, it's going to knock your socks off compared to that jar of Ragu.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, and we talk candy today with Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates and Joe Serrata of Uncle Sam's Candy and Tom on the Thruway. Tom, you're on.
Hey, I got two questions about chocolate, one more frivolous and one more serious.
Okay.
So the frivolous question is, can Oreo really call itself chocolate? That's question one.
Oreo? You mean the cookie?
No, yeah. They really can only be, it's chocolate flavored.
Okay.
There's no chocolate in that cookie.
It was cocoa, right?
It's cocoa powder.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Okay.
It's in every crossword as a four-letter word for, you know, chocolate cookie. And never chocolate.
Well, you'll have to take that up with the New York Times, I'm afraid.
All right. The more serious question, though, is I've heard a lot about the sources of chocolate that really kind of concern me, you know, this kind of image of a indentured servant child chopping off things with a giant machete in Africa. So I want to know if you gentlemen think about that and try to source your chocolate, you know, fairly.
All right, fair question, Tom. Thank you. All right, Matt, you go first.
For as far as I know, when we get our chocolate in from Merkins, it's done in a way that is up to the United States standards, as far as I am aware of. I don't know anything about them getting their product from a source that would not be favorable for our country.
Joe,
I think you're referring to more to the fair trade products, okay? So when you go to Africa or you go to Central America, I think particularly Africa is in question, is the nations that where these plantations are located do not have the same worker protections. They obviously don't have unions. They don't have an EPA. They don't have OSHA. They don't have a labor department. You know, all the things that we have grown accustomed to in our life here, the protections for the workers, that in Africa, they probably have child labor. They have people probably working. I'm going to imagine the people don't work eight-hour days with four breaks and a lunch hour. I'm just going to surmise that in Africa, the level of poverty and privation is so great that they don't have those standards where those people work. So the same probably be holding true in Indonesia. I imagine Central America may be getting better. South America may be getting better. But they are many years behind American standards. And we have a couple options. We could find fair trade chocolates, which are grown on plantations at great expense and very small batches, because they can never possibly produce the amount of cocoa beans to feed America or Western civilization, for that matter. And the other option would be not to eat any more chocolate. And then the plantations would close. And then I don't know what would happen to those economies, if it would get worse or better. I imagine it would get worse. So, you know, we have to kind of always ask ourselves, where is this coming from? Who is it affecting? Is it hurting animals? Is it hurting the environment? Is it hurting people? And there's always a certain degree of that in every item we purchase.
All right, let's go to Mark in Northampton. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering why there are so few chocolates with fruit in them. I mean, you have Raisinets, but how come there's never been a candy bar with, like, pineapple in it? Is that difficult to do?
I would say it's probably something to do with the product spoiling. If you get a fresh fruit, we do a lot of chocolate-covered strawberries. We do a lot of chocolate-covered raspberries. The type of fresh fruit or pineapple, something like that.
Dried fruit, right?
We have dried fruit. We have apricots, orange slices, and orange peel that are dried fruit. But if you're talking fresh fruit, it has to do with something with the fact that it would just the fruit sooner or later would go bad.
Yeah, you could probably get a jar of raisins and put them in your pantry, and then a year later open up the jar, and they might be dried out a little, but you could still eat them. But if you were to take a fresh pineapple and core it and stick it on the shelf, I think within a matter of hours, if not, you know, days, it's going to be moldy and deteriorate, and you couldn't eat it.
Now, I know it's probably not real fruit, but those fruit slices you get at the good candy shops, they're one of my favorite
they're
things.
They're not real fruit.
No?
They're just candy.
Oh, come on, man. They're my favorite things. You get the blueberry and the lime and the, oh, they're delicious.
Well, no one said we're in the health food business.
All right, let's go to Susan in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling in response to the lady who wanted to know about the roasted pecans.
Yeah.
My sister sent me this recipe some years back.
Well, I hope she's still listening. Okay, go ahead.
You put preheat the oven to 275.
Yeah.
And you prepare the ingredients, and then you spread them out on a cookie sheet that you grease really well.
Yeah.
Because the pecans, once you do this, will stick to the pan. I do it with tin foil.
Okay.
But you bake them for 45 minutes at 275.
Yeah.
And you turn them every 15 minutes. So you turn them a couple times while you're roasting them for 45 minutes at 275.
Okay. And that's it.
That's it. And it's really simple, and they are fabulous.
Well, Susan, you'll be the last caller today. Thank you very much.
Please,
all
nice.
Right. Now, Joe Serrata, how do we find Uncle Sam's Candy on the Internet?
Okay. www.unclesamscandy.com. Plug it in. You'll find it.
Have a great holiday season, man.
Thank
you for
you.
Being here twice in a row. And Matt Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates. How do we find Catherine's Chocolates on the web?
www.catherineschocolates.net. And all one word.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, with a Matt, C, Catherine with a C.
C, yes,
oh, that's,
with a C.
That's a good
yeah.
point, Joe.
All lowercase.
Well, thank you guys for being here. We really appreciate it. It's nice. You get two candy shows in a
it's
row.
Fun.
Everybody here is pretty psyched. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine for over 20 years. Open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and food vendors every Saturday, 9 to 2, in downtown Troy. Winter indoor market in the atrium, troymarket.org. Mother Earth Storehouse, serving the Hudson Valley with a variety of seasonal items and organic and all-natural foods. MotherEarthStorehouse.com for daily events and cooking demonstrations. And Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Buttermilk Falls, Milton. Taking reservation for the Thanksgiving buffet at the Buttermilk Barn, Thursday, November 22nd. Seatings from 1 to 7 p.m., ButtermilkFallsInn.com. Thanks again to Joe Serrata and Matt Sinico for being here today. Thank you for listening and for the great calls. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Right now, stand by for news.